As I said during announcements, good to see everybody, and we're thankful for our visitors are with us as well. Appreciate you coming. We've been studying a series on the life of David, and I'm going to give that a little pause this morning, and we'll pick it up tonight. Tonight, the lesson's entitled The Ruined Robe, and we'll see what lessons we can learn from the occasion where David cut off the corner of Saul's robe. The lesson this morning is one that has kind of been on my mind for a little bit. You might say I was passionate about trying to develop some material to speak about this subject. And as I went through the study, I saw maybe some of that passion wane and more sadness well up in the heart, sometimes tears well up in the eyes. Then it would turn to nausea. And it was just one of those subjects that was difficult, and I had to stop and pick it up again. And so if it's a little disjointed, you'll know why that might be the case. The lesson's entitled this morning, He Made the Male and Female, God and the Transgender Movement. It's one of the first lessons taught in the Bible, that He made them male and female. For many Bible versions, it's right on the first page. The creation of man and woman, male and female. Yet in the past 10 to 15 years, has really been under a major attack. With each year, its increasing voice is heard. There is a very loud spoken minority that has been trying to influence politics, schools, society to say that God didn't create them only male and female. One chooses their gender of their choice. This all started with sexual perversity becoming more and more accepted. And I'm talking even before the homosexual movement. Premarital sex, extramarital affairs become more and more accepted, thus it paved the way for broadening acceptance of sexual sins of all kind, eventually homosexuality. And this has happened and taken place in my own lifetime. Then at warp speed from these fertile fields of sin, more twistedness is born, such as gender confusion. Our society has spent so much time trying to get people to accept any kinds of sexual partners. And gay marriage was just made lawful by the U.S. Supreme Court not too many years ago. Now, they say that those two things are separate, one's sexual orientation and one's gender identity. But really, how can they be? For example, if you are female and you believe you then are really male or should have been male, then if you, as a self-proclaimed male, pick out a female partner, in actuality, you're committing homosexuality because you really are a female. You see? It's all connected. And the world is wanting us to be ashamed for saying that it is sinful and wrong and that it should stop. Now, us older folks are not the targets of influence. They know most of us won't change our views. They want us really to just die off. It's the younger generation that they see that they can target and change. And we must not be fooled to think that they cannot. We must not think that, well, you know, we're in a conservative church, therefore we're safe. I know of a very good preacher friend of mine in the Northwest that has had two children become homosexuals. We say, well, that's the Northwest. I know of a good preacher friend of mine in Kentucky who has had one child become a homosexual. Liberal surroundings and influence can take a toll. When the messaging is constant from the media, from schools, from peers and friends, it's hard to compete with such bombardment. I remember watching a show that was totally not about this subject at all. And in the show, they were discussing how they might create change in society regarding their particular subject. And they said in the show, and I won't forget, they said it will not take just one show, but show after show after show. Just like the homosexual movement, right? They made their changes show after show after show. The point is that what is put out there constantly desensitizes us, and our children are being desensitized, and that's why we must closely monitor their influences. It's not because we can keep them sheltered and disconnected from the world, as such is unreasonable. It's because we want to control what goes into their hearts on a continual basis, and the Word of God says to guard the heart, for out of it spring the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. So, what kind of guarding will we do on our children? Can it be where it's more of an occasional drip that they see from the world, or will it be a wide open spigot, as most of the world is receiving at this particular time? All right, on to the lesson. There's the introduction. What does the Word of God say about all this? Take your Bibles, turn there to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 26 and verse 27. So here we are, day 6 in creation. And the Bible says in Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So chapter 2, it goes on to then describe how he went about creating them. Chapter 2, 7. Then the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Then in chapter 2, 22, when God caused Adam to fall asleep, it says verse 22, then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Notice woman and man, male and female. Only two genders. And that's the genders that he made. It's also important to note from other scriptures that he knew us even before we were formed in the womb. Jeremiah 1 verse 5. Where there Jeremiah recognized that truth, that God said, I knew you before you were born. Look in Psalm 139. Psalm 139. So understand this, that God understood who we were before he actually made the fleshly house that would house us. This person would be a male. This person will be a female. In Psalm 139. Verse 13, here David says, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you. Why? For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works that my soul knows very well. Verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you. So, in the moment when a child is in the womb of the mother, this is way before ultrasound technology, the form, the frame of the child would be hidden from the parent. But David acknowledged, it never was hidden from you, God. My frame was not hidden from you. In fact, you made my very frame. You formed my inward parts. God is the creator and maker of us all. He knows us before he even formed us. And he fashioned us just the way we should be, because we are made in his image. So to be something else then, than what we are made is to dishonor the very image of God. We are to reflect a holy God to the world. But how can we fulfill that purpose when we refuse to accept how the holy God made us? So do you see the results of disobedience? To change what He has made? It's an affront to the Creator. It is disregard for His plan for you, made even before you were born. There, verse 16 of this great psalm. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And yet in your book there all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts towards me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more than the number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. What he's saying here is that God has high hopes for us all when He made us. How precious are your thoughts towards us, that His desire for us, if He's to see our lives, was that it would be fulfilled in glorifying Him. Because God didn't make anyone a sinner, a vessel for destruction. He had high hopes for us. So then, what is taking place today is the work of Satan. God made you this way, he says, but why not be something else? Satan tempts us to disobey God, even defy God. It's like the Romans writer said in Romans 9:20, shall the clay say to the potter, why have you made me this way? And the pot says, yes, that's what we're going to say to the potter. That's exactly what we will do. Imagine every art creation devised by you changing into something else that you didn't create. I've got a number of kids that like art and crafts. Imagine that, children. After you're done finishing making something, you come back to it a day later and it's something totally different. You didn't make that. Imagine a pot saying, I'm not a pot, I'm a chicken. Does that change what it is? No. Those that believe that they can choose their gender are simply marring their gender by which they were created. So, how are these individuals in this movement informing our children and our teens? Well, there are multiple children books that are made to teach kindergartners and elementary kids, such as this one here, Be Who You Are, on the screen, where it has a boy looking into the mirror and reflecting back to him is a girl. Then you have the opposite, when Kathy is Keith, a girl looking in the mirror, and she sees the reflection of a boy. Sparkle Boy, another book. There's more than I could put on the chart. I am not a girl where a girl looks into a barbershop wishing she was the boy. I Am Jazz is another popular book out there trying to inform our children about transgenderism and how it should be accepted and, yes, even normal. But in regards to our teenagers, those that are heavily influenced by this movement, I've done some research and found a website addressing teens called Teen Talk. And that was more intriguing to me than maybe some other websites that might have more details. I really wanted to see how they're approaching our youth. What they want to talk to teens on regarding Teen Talk. Here's a picture of the front of the page regarding gender identity. You'll notice the various stick figures. So it's just absent from being able to determine one male, one female. It's just a stick figure and hearts surrounding all these stick figures. And you can see instantly they're trying to use love regarding this particular subject. That this is the loving way. Be accepting. Let people choose who they are and just love them anyway. And I want you to understand, friends, that this is an abuse of love. It allows anyone to define what love is. And how far can one take that? How far can one push that? Could a pedophile say, well, I really love this 7-year-old and this 7-year-old loves me, and so we should be happily wed together? Or can a man love 5 women and say, I think we need to all be in one marriage together? Can a murderer love murdering? My point is, where does the line end when we become the definers of love? The Bible is very explicit about the definition of love. In 2 John 6, it says this. It says, this is love. Well, what is that? Our ears should prick up at this moment. Tell us, God, what is love? This is love. That we walk according to His commandments. Jesus Himself reiterates this truth in John chapter 14 and verse 15. John 14 verse 15, where He says, if you love Me, keep My commandments. Notice in John 14 verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves Me, what will he do? He will keep My word. And My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So if one wants to have a relationship with the Lord, they must love Him, and that means keeping His word. Notice He says in verse 24, he who does not love Me does not keep My words. So we're going to allow the world to define love for us, or the Lord Himself. And I suggest it ought to be the Lord Himself. Because 1 John chapter 4 verse 8 says that God is love. So if He's the very expression of love, then He's the one that knows how to best define love for us. That we're in alignment with Him. In alignment with His will. And Jesus certainly taught us the way when He lovingly submitted to His Father's will while on earth. And paved for us the way that we ought to follow as well. So friends, it is not hate to point out sin. It is love. It's like a doctor pointing out cancer. That may not be what we want to hear. But it is what we need to hear so that we can be saved physically from what the untreated cancer could do to us. So when I point out exactly what God has said, He made them male and female, that there's only 2 genders and not another, that's not hate speech. That is a loving doctor saying you're going to die from your cancer if it is untreated. Is it not a surprise in the Bible, God refer to sin as like a cancer? Sin is like a cancer to the soul, to the mind, to the heart. And God will only save the repentant. He never promised to save the sinner in their sin. He never promised that. So what we see here is that it's all about your choice, they say. Who you want to be, not what God decides. Each one then is a god thus unto themselves this way. They have no one to follow, no one to obey. But themselves. And thus much of the attitude of Romans chapter 1 is reflected in them. In Romans chapter 1, there when God was describing the Gentile world and their activity and how they rejected God's expression to them through creation, for them to recognize that there was a united, one true God. They rejected that. They professed to be wise, he says in verse 22, but they really became fools. So verse 24 of Romans 1, he says, therefore, God also gave them up to what? God gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to do what? To dishonor their bodies among themselves. See, that certainly applies to the transgender activity that takes place today. When we reject God and what He's said about us and what we ought to do and live, then we profess to be wise, in actuality are fools. And God says, okay, if that's what you're going to do. He lets us run amok in our uncleanness and can even dishonor our bodies. He goes on to say in verse 25, who exchanges the truth of God for the lie. So there is this perpetual lie that's fed throughout our society nonstop, ad nauseum. And so people accept the lie and exchange the truth of God for it. So verse 26, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do the things which are not fitting. Got to get this God out of my mind. Got to get this God out of my world, out of my society. I don't want Him in my mind. Why? Because He tells me what I don't want to hear. And what I don't like to do. And so, God allows one to go on their very way in their debased mind to do the things which are just not fitting. And to dishonor their bodies. On the website, it had the following answer to questions. How many genders are there? And it said the short answer is a whole bunch. Until recently, our society has only acknowledged two genders, male and female, but this has never been true. Notice how they said until recently. That's what I was saying. This is really taken off in the past 10 to 15 years. Many of these changes have taken place. They go on to say, what do we mean assigned at birth? Think about one of the first things a doctor says to someone who is born. It's a girl. Or, it's a boy. This is gender assignment. And it is based on an assumption that someone's genitals match their gender. However, we know that this isn't always the case, and that each of us gets to decide what gender we know ourselves to be. Did you notice? We know this is not always the case. How do you know? Well, because we just know we know. It's the self-proclaimed. You see that? This flies in the face of God when in Psalm 100 verse 3, it says, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. It is an affront to the Creator. It says, no, get this knowledge of God out of my mind. I don't want to hear that. So what did it say on the site as to the major gender assignments? And you'll notice on these pictures, some may be somewhat disturbing. I've tried to choose some of the mild ones. That girl is not really a girl, that's a boy, and that boy is not really a boy, that's a girl. But there on the side it says transgender, two-spirit, non-binary, genderqueer, gender expression, gender fluid, gender neutral. These are the major gender assignments. So I'm going to go through some of this list with you so that you might better be informed about these. First one on the list there is transgender, which means someone whose gender identity is different than the one they were assigned with at birth. Now, these are their definitions, okay? What's teen talk? What are they telling our teens? Here's what they're telling our teens. Transgender is someone whose gender identity is different than the one they were assigned at birth. Okay? So if they are born male, but then believe they really should have been female, then presto, they are, just because they believe it. And they've changed their gender, which is what the word trans means. I know my kids know transformers means to change the form, right? So transgender is to change one's gender, okay? And they believe that everyone just has to accept this. It's just the case. It's just what it is. And shame on you if you won't get on board. So we're seeing ramifications of this now. That boy can now play on the girls' team, and nothing could be said about it. Here's a picture of a boy powerlifter on the girl team. You know, a lot of boys may not make the cut on the boys' team, but now they're dominating the girls' teams, and schools are left scratching their heads as to what in the world they should do about all this. And many of them are just caving in. You got boys shattering girls' track records because they believe they're girls. So they got to play on the girls' team. Go in the girls' locker room. Oh, I'm telling you, it is getting very difficult out there. Another one of the gender assignments is non-binary. And they define that as this person doesn't identify as a man or a woman. It means different things to different people. I kid you not, that's their definition. Gender queer. They define that as their gender identity is neither male nor female. It is between or beyond genders, or is some combination of genders. This is it's mind-boggling to read this, but they are dead serious about these things. Another gender assignment is gender expression. And gender expression is about how someone acts and presents themselves to the world. For example, does someone wear makeup? Do they wear dresses? Do they prefer to only wear pants? Gender expression is not related to someone's gender or sex, but rather about a person's personal behaviors and interests. Okay? So essentially the man that likes to express themselves as a woman. Do you know God's word speaks about this in the Old Covenant in Deuteronomy 22:5? A woman must not wear men's clothing, nor a man wear women's clothing, for the Lord your God detests anyone who does this. Now, I know in years gone by that this verse was misapplied, misused to talk about women wearing pants to services, when the real context of what is taking place here is sexual perversity. And that you have these men that want to portray themselves as women and walk about and prance about as if they are, and vice versa. God detests such activity. Gender fluid is another gender assignment. And they say it may refer to a gender which varies over time. Someone who identifies as gender fluid may fluctuate between genders or express multiple genders at the same time. No idea how. But their gender may also vary at random or vary in response to different circumstances. That's gender fluid. Then you have gender neutral. Someone who feels that they are neither male or female may identify as gender neutral. Friends, on the internet, I'd seen other lists. Now, this is 7 or 8 identities. Some lists had 22 gender identities. Another one had 64 gender identities. I don't even know how to respond to that. There's so much overlap between this. All this is gender anarchy. If one wants to identify as whatever they want, there is just no stopping point. One side even said some of the terms mean different things to different people. So then what do? So no one can ever really know with gender anarchy. Man is all about confusion and chaos. And you know what the Bible says? There in 1 Corinthians 14, that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. See, he came to give us peace from all the chaos. Satan wants chaos. God wants peace. Satan's way has 64 genders and counting. God's way has 2. Male and female. He created them. Now listen. What all this is trying to do is redefine gender to be a choice. They want to win the terminology war, which in our age they are making ground, if not winning it. And if they can win that, then with that comes a denouncing of any who will not take up the same terminology or be accepting of such. Just last month, January 2021, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and the Rules Committee Chairman James McGovern claimed that changing pronouns and familial relationships in the House rules to be gender neutral are necessary changes meant to honor all gender identities. So this is the very top leaders of the land. The proposed changes, they said, would establish gender-inclusive language in the House rules by eliminating gendered language. So instead of words like father, mother, son, daughter, brother, sister, uncle, aunt, first cousin, nephew, niece, husband, wife, father-in-law, on and on and so forth, the proposed rules say the House language should use language like parent, child, sibling, parent-sibling, first cousin, sibling's child, spouse, parent-in-law, child-in-law, sibling-in-law. Basically removing anything that could assign someone to be a male or female. What does Jesus say about all this? It's very, very simple. He says the exact same thing that God does. There in Matthew 19:4, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? He never talks about anything more than two genders. If there was ever a time to respect the silence of Scripture, it's there, isn't it? Right? Sometimes we have our denominational friends, they'll tell us, well, you know, the Bible didn't say you couldn't use instrumental music. They're going to be susceptible to falling prey to this. Because the transgender respond, well, where does it say not to have non-binary? Not to be genderqueer? Not to, you know. See, God doesn't work that way. God just tells us what we are to do. God just tells us the way it should be. And we ought to respect that. He made them male and female. And there's nothing more he needed to say about that. So, friends, this is not only an affront to God, but to Jesus Christ himself. And the bizarre thing is that some that are homosexual, some that are transgender, pray to God in the name of Jesus. They willfully lead rebellious lives to their Creator and yet expect that He will hear and answer their prayer. They believe that He is only a God of love and compassion, as they define love and compassion, not Him. And thus they have it backwards. The Bible tells us that He is the God that we should serve. It is us that are the servants that seek to know His will and to obey it, not the other way around. You know, Jesus makes this very clear in Matthew 7:21-23 when He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So those that do the will of the Father will go to heaven in the end. And self-proclaimed gender assignments is not according to His will. He assigns the genders, not we. Jesus, our Creator, assigns every soul to every body, and we are made in His image, male and female, nothing more. And don't forget it, John chapter 1 even tells us that all things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. Jesus was there at creation as well. This is an affront to God. This is an affront to Jesus. Sad to say, all this soon will be considered hate speech. In an effort to change society, they must change the terms, and then they also must change the consequences of those that refuse to use their terms. We all must be prepared to suffer for the cause of Christ, to be willing to stand for the truth. In this country, we are protected by our First Amendment rights, but for how long? I suggest it's best to start living and believing like we're not, so that when that day comes, we're already prepared. Most of the world has never had such privileged protections of speech. We have been blessed for a very long time. we must prepare, and our children must be prepared to speak the truth in love, come what may. In conclusion, I want to say this. Let us all remember that this is not an us versus them. This is God versus Satan. And that is how I would approach such with others of this persuasion. This is not personal. This is salvational. And if you don't want salvation, then that's your choice. But if you desire salvation, you and I must surrender to the will of God. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. And we as the people of God must not underestimate this movement among our youth. It has gained a lot of steam in a short amount of time. We may not change the world, but we may save our children. And that right there cannot be underestimated. May God bless us as we seek to do such. Maybe there's someone here that's not a child of God. You've not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've not become saved from your sins. If you believe that Jesus indeed is your Creator, that He lovingly made you just the way you are, and that He has high hopes for your life, as He might see all of our days, even before we lived the first one. And that to complete that desire, He does not rob us of our free will. But He allows us and He hopes for us to choose Him in the end. After we have learned the lesson of choosing ourselves, falling into sin, it cannot save us. We need a Savior. A Savior to save us and to forgive us. And Jesus is that Savior. He died on the cross to save all. Even these individuals that we've talked about this morning, they all have souls. And He loves them all. And if you're willing to be brought into conformity to His will, repent of your sins. That means stop the sinful living. Stop living transgressing His word, but now live accordance with it. And you're ready to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you can become His child. And if as God's child you've forsaken His ways, may this be a fresh reminder that there is no stopping point to that. You may be light years away from what we talked about this morning, but you're on the path. Whenever we leave the path of God, we take the road of Satan. Come back to Him. Be restored to Him. And He'll forgive you once again. If we can assist, won't you come while together we stand and sing the invitation song.